Some people want to focus on some spiritual experience they've had. Pastor Ray Bentley says, focus on God's Word.
The Word of God is even better than an experience, because the Word of God abides forever. God says, I have exalted my Word above my name. Therefore, you do well to take heed to the written Word of God. Heed the Word as a light that shines in a dark place.
Spread the news. All of His people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Sometimes our walk of faith brings an emotional experience, or we may witness the miraculous. It's all too easy to want to focus on those moments, want to celebrate them, or try to recapture them. Today, Pastor Ray shows us where our real focus should be. We'll see the Word is far more reliable.
Let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 16 through 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Peter says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain." This is what Peter saw on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were with Jesus when the Shekinah glory penetrated through the body of Jesus Christ and through His clothing and His hair, and His face was more brilliant than lightning. He was glorified in their presence. Now, amazingly, we know that that glory was always there, but it was veiled to men. His glory would certainly overflow in all of the miracles that He performed, but no one had ever seen the spiritual, supernatural glory that dwelt in, upon, and around the Messiah. And not even all the 12. You know, Jesus, there were the multitudes who followed Him for, you know, miracle after miracle, parable and teaching and story after story. But inside of that were the 12. But even inside of that was another very small, select group that I think about a half dozen different occasions Jesus said, "Hey, from the 12, okay, Peter, James, and John, just you three, come with me. I have something I want to show you." And these three were given some very special insights and privileges. You know, I think that it is also true of the Lord that you get out of your relationship with Him as much as you're willing and wanting. Now, on the Lord's side, I think he wants us all to be, as it were, on that inner circle. But there are different grades of love that people have for Him. And so the Lord says, if you will seek Me with all of your heart, then you will find Me. So here I want to talk about what is the significance of the Transfiguration. There are three things quickly that I'd like to go through. Number one, the Transfiguration confirms Peter's testimony, his personal testimony, about Jesus as the Messiah. Peter now saw the Son of God in all of His kingly glory, heard the voice of the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this happened right after the incident where Jesus was with the 12. It was up in a high mountain, which is probably in the north of Israel. We think it's Mount Hermon. And He asked the disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" Well, some of them say you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Some of them say you're Jeremiah. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the other prophets. Okay, but who do you say that I am? And immediately Peter spoke And he said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And immediately, Jesus, I feel his pleasure as he says to Peter, "Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has made this known to you." That is such an amazing and a wonderful thing, because every one of us here, whoever of us, if you know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, you have had a divine revelation from the Father. It comes from the Father. He opened your eyes. You didn't figure it out, but it was revealed to you. Now, what's interesting is, so Peter makes that confession. All the other disciples say, "Yes, we also agree. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then he says, "Okay, Peter, James, and John, come on, I want to show you guys something." And they go up to the top of the mountain. Jesus begins entering into prayer. The mountain is filled with the cloud of God's presence. God speaks. Moses and Elijah are there. And Jesus is lit up with the glory, literally, as Peter writes it, of the glory that shall come in the second coming of the Messiah. Where Revelation 1 verse 7 says, "And every eye shall see him." I believe it was Isaiah the prophet that says, when the Messiah comes, his brightness will be seven times the brightness of the sun. I want you to note that first we put our faith in Jesus and confess him, and then he gives us the wonderful confirmation of experience. You know that there are many people that say, "I don't want to do that. Hey, yeah, you want to prove to me who you are? Show me that big dazzling light, and then I'll confess you." Now, quite honestly, if God wanted to, he could do that. He could just have sent Jesus burning and dazzling seven times like the sun, and everybody go, "Well, obviously he's the Messiah. There's no, okay, what else can we do?" But it wouldn't necessarily mean that we had given our hearts to him. And therefore, he separated his coming into two phases. And the first time he came and his glory was veiled, hidden. Why would God do that? He wanted to see who really loves me. His glory was hidden, though it slipped out in his miracles and the beauty of his teachings. But ultimately, what he came armed with from heaven that was divine was the way he loved. The way he loved his Father, and the way he loved us. And then when he went to the cross, that was the epitome of the love of God. It even literally, when Jesus was lifted up on the cross 2,000 years ago, those 6 hours, dying as the sinless Lamb of God for the sins of the world, even the angels bent over. These are the things angels desired to look into. Their angelic jaws dropped open. They had never witnessed. They had felt the love, but they had never seen such love as when Jesus, as he himself said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that he lays down his life for his friends." And so he wants us to believe in him. First, you confess him, and then comes the experience. Then comes the signs following. Then comes this wonderful confirmation. Now, the second thing about the transfiguration, it also had a great significance for Jesus as he drew near to Calvary. The transfiguration happened right before the last trip to Jerusalem, before the last Passover and the Last Supper. In other words, it wasn't just for Peter, James, and John to, you know, have this experience and verify all of the things that Jesus had said and taught, and yes, he is the Messiah, and look at the glory of God. Wow. It was also for Jesus. And so there Jesus is and relating and hearing his Father, and the Father says, "My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." I believe it was the Heavenly Father's way of strengthening Jesus for the great sacrifice that was to come when he went and laid down his life for the sins of the world. Both Moses and Elijah were there, and it reveals that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. How is the Jewish law fulfilled? What does it look like? It looks like Jesus. The prophets, all those prophecies, there's no doubt who he is, and that he came from heaven to reveal himself to us. So the transfiguration was very significant for Jesus as he drew near to Calvary. and to strengthen him for going to the cross. Thirdly, the transfiguration was a picture of the second coming when the Messiah reveals his glory. Jesus had promised the disciples that some of you will see the kingdom of God in power. And so read with me Luke chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And there it was, you will see the kingdom of God. They saw the coming of the Messiah and his glory that shall come in the last days.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We're so happy to share Pastor Ray's messages with you each day here on Maranatha Radio. And we enjoy hearing when listeners find it encouraging. Listen to this.
Dear Maranatha Radio, Pastor Ray's message today was truly a blessing to me. While driving home with a heavy heart, feeling indeed pressed in on all sides, the message helped me to realize once again that God is working it out and that He had heard my cries today. This message was a response to many things I had been saying to God. He was listening, and that radio message was my answer from Him. God bless.
How have Pastor Ray's studies touched your life? Would you let Pastor Ray know? Send him an email today at ray@raybentley.com. Do it now before you forget. Again, write to ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
Now, in verse 16, look back there at verse 16. Peter says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." There were false teachings. Now, this was written about 67, 68 AD, approximately. So if Jesus was crucified around 32 AD, let's say, it's been, you know, between 30 and 40 years, almost 40 years. And already there were false teachings that had begun to deny the promise of Christ's return. Peter said then, and the Spirit says to us today, do not be deceived. Let no one take the hope of Jesus from you. Hold on to Him for dear life. Hold on to Him as a real person who was born in Bethlehem of a virgin. And yes, the mystery of godliness is great, that God was manifest in the flesh. But hold on to Jesus. Amen? Come what may, do not let go of Him. Love Him, follow Him, worship Him. The Holy Spirit is all about lifting up Jesus to us. So now, three saw this. James, John and Peter. James, who was up on the mountain, saw the transfiguration. Did you know he was the first of the apostles to die as a martyr? John lived a long time, but they put him on exile in Patmos. But while he was there alone on the Lord's day, he was caught up in the Spirit and had a vision and a revelation that he wrote. It's the last book of the New Testament called the Book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ and the Second Coming. But he suffered greatly. Peter suffered all during his ministry. He got beat up, thrown in jail, don't preach in Jesus' name anymore. He'd come out and do it again. And now here he is old, writing his last letter and soon to die as a martyr, crucified even upside down. For he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified as my Lord was. So Peter, James, and John learned by experience that suffering and glory go together. And that the Father's special glory rests upon those who are willing to suffer for His name's sake. But having said that, as Peter shares this experience, I want to close now with the last couple of verses. Experience fades, but the Word of God remains forever. Look how Peter closes this chapter out. Verse 19. He says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So Peter says, look, experience is great, and I have the most incredible experience, but I can't give you my experience. That's the beauty of experience. It's personal. You can't give anybody else. Have you noticed? You can't give other people your experience. But here's what you can give them, the Word of God. And what Peter says is that the Word of God is even better and greater than an experience. Because the Word of God abides forever. And people could, you know, they say, well, I haven't seen what you've seen or felt what you've felt. But the Word of God is to all men. God says, I have exalted my word above my name. Therefore, you do well to take heed to the written word of God. Heed the word as a light that shines in a dark place. This is crucial because we live in a dark place. How many would agree the world is a dark place? A lot of darkness. We need light. Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. But the world loved darkness and did not want the light to come because it might expose their deeds. But in him was life, and to as many as believed in him, he gave the right to become the sons and the daughters of the living God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible is a lamp. It's a light through the darkness, all the way until we see the burning light of his face. We walk in the midst of a dark world, and a believer's only light in this world is the light of the Word of God. And so let's take heed to the prophetic scriptures until the light of the second coming dawns upon us. And both the Old and the New Testament complement each other. In fact, it has been said this way, that the New Testament is in the Old contained, and the Old Testament is in the New explained. It goes together perfectly, seamlessly. And then Peter reveals the source of the prophetic word of God. And by the way, the Bible is the only book on planet Earth that predicts the future 100% of the time. Because God says, I know, I'm the only God, and I'll tell you what's going to happen before it happens, so that when it happens, you'll be able to say, this is that which was spoken of by the prophets. That's awesome. So verses 20 and 21, last thing that I'll share with you, and then we'll close. Knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. When it says there it's not of any private interpretation, then some people get off a little bit and they think, oh, that means you can't interpret the Bible on your own. That is not what it means exactly. Yes, we're to interpret the Bible. And yes, we're to study it and search it and let God lead us and guide us. What Peter is saying there is that the source of the prophetic word is not the invention of men. In other words, it's not of any private disclosure. Men did not think this up. Now, there are other religions that are man-made, and men made them up as they went along, and some got a little, I think, devilish help along the way. But never in the world would you say, I know what let's do. Let's create a religion where for 1,500 years we'll sacrifice all these lambs. That'll be a preview of what will happen when the Messiah comes. And men would never in a million years come up with the story as it is revealed from Genesis to Revelation and the story of Christ. It came from God. It came from the Holy Spirit. It's not a private, disclosure. Or interpretation in that sense, that men kind of added to this religion as it went along. It came from God. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The word moved here means they were borne along. The Greek word moved is of a ship that is being blown along by the wind. So the prophets of the Scripture and who wrote the Scripture were blown along or moved by the wind of the Holy Spirit It was therefore revealed by God. It was interpreted by God. It was disclosed by God, not of men, though men were merely the pen in the hand of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is the source of the revelation, and the heart of those revelations is always about Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now let me just ask this. Are there any of you that would say, you know, I don't know if I were to die, if I would go to heaven? I want to say in a moment, a very simple childlike prayer, that you can pray and receive the gift of salvation. It's a gift. It's the gift of God. It is incredible. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. How do you do that? By praying. Praying is just asking Jesus to do. He's always been with you. He loves you. But salvation is not just that you know who he is, or maybe you believe in the stories of the gospel, or maybe you even believe about that he rose from the dead, but that doesn't, and you go to church, but that doesn't make you a Christian. There must come a definite moment in time where you ask him as the risen Savior and Lord to come into your heart, and you accept him as who he claimed to be, the Messiah and the Savior. You ask forgiveness of your sins. And I want to give you that opportunity right now. Then let's all pray together. And I want you to pray with me, pray out loud, even those who maybe are praying for the first time. But even those that know the Lord, let's pray out loud after this manner. Dear Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I am so sorry for everything I've done wrong. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross in my place. I open the door of my heart and I ask you to come into my life, to be my personal Lord and Savior. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive the gift of eternal life. Now help me to follow you, Jesus, all the way to heaven until I see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, leading in an important word of prayer today here on Maranatha Radio. And if you have just prayed with Pastor Ray, we hope you'll let us send you some free follow-up materials to help you get started living for the Lord. We'll give our mailing address in just a moment. Now, today's presentation by Pastor Ray is available on CD. Contact us and mention a trustworthy prophetic word. We'll be happy to send it your way for a gift of any amount. And again, the title, A Trustworthy Prophetic Word. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 2 Peter on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at raybentley.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Pastor Ray, when we adopt a biblical worldview, it may put us out of sync with our culture, but it also puts us in sync with the Lord, and it helps us find God's peace. Is that what you discuss in your booklet, Finding Vision for Your Life?
Yes. You know, there's a prophet that God has in the Old Testament, Habakkuk, and God gave him a divine vision, a heavenly vision, and he said, write the vision down and make it plain so that those who read it can understand it and they can run with that vision. I wrote this booklet called Finding Vision for Your Life because I believe that God has, as our Father, a personalized, unique vision for each one of us. And he wants to make it plain. He wants to make it clear so that we know what our purpose is, so that we can run with passion and all the gifts God has given to us and fulfill our unique calling in the Lord. So I can't wait for people to read this booklet, Finding Vision for Your Life.
All right. Well, we hope you'll get your own copy of this engaging resource from Pastor Ray. Let us send you Finding Vision for Your Life. It's our thank you gift for your donation of any amount to help us keep bringing Pastor Ray's teaching to you each day. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order the booklet online at raybentley.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 2 Peter. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.